If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because of him, by him, the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant unto thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass that when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me." And it was so that when Elijah the man of God had heard of the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came, and his horses and his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Or did Abanon and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again unto him, unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he turned to the man of God, he and all of his company, and came and stood before them. And he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, 'Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord.'" Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this day, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down, touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. For it is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Shake your neighbor's hand, look around in the eye and say, "Woo, I hope this gets over quick." Please forgive my raspy voice. It's not bothering me, as long as it don't bother you. I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm going to title the message, 7 Dips, Why? Not just 2 or 3. Years ago, as an evangelist, I preached a message one night on 7 ducks in a muddy pond. And this lady come up after church, won't know where the ducks was. And then it hit me, what actually happened when when Naaman got healed. He went back to the man of God. The man of God said, well, what else do you want? Now, here's a guy that just told him how to get healed of leprosy, which was an incurable disease in his day. He said, what else do you want? The guy said, well, I need 2 mule loads of dirt. That's what happens a lot of times in church. You come in ready to receive something from God, and all you take home is 2 mule loads of dirt. Because you get so hung up on one thing, you miss everything else that happened in the service. Come on, church. That's a good sermon. I'm destroying you young guys that are preachers. Mark it down. You might want to use that sometime. But people come in, they hear something they want to hear, and they miss focus on everything else the preacher said because they got them 2 mule loads of dirt. He said, I want to take them back, and I'm going to put them down on the ground, make it holy ground. That's where I'm going to pray from now on, because I'm not going to offer sacrifices to all them other gods I've been worshiping. There is one God, and I'm going to worship him, and I need this dirt to worship on. Amen. I'm not going to preach about the 2 mule loads of dirt, but I want to talk to you about Naaman. Notice what the Bible tells us in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Two little words, lay aside, push it away. Get rid of it. Church, too many people today don't understand the word repent means you quit doing it. You don't run up and holler, I'm sorry, and then keep doing what you're doing. Repent means to turn away from. There's a scripture in the Bible a lot of people like to not read. It said, does a dog not turn to its own vomit? You ever seen a dog help you? If they're still hungry, they'll lick it right back at. Well, we got folks in church doing the same thing. Some of y'all said, oh, man, because I even said that, but it's in the Bible. But we got folks in the church that you do something wrong, you lap it right back up, go do it again. And then you wonder why God doesn't bless you, why God doesn't want to minister to you. But if you're doing wrong, repentance means you quit doing it. It don't mean you stop for a while. You stop, period. You don't go back. Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Listen. Combined together, the words that were translated for to turn away from means laying aside, laying down, pushing it away. If I'm at the table, I'm through eating, I push my plate away. I'm not going to eat anymore. Hello? If you're in the Middle East and you're going to go to the bathroom or go wash your hands or whatever while you're eating, you're coming back to eat, you fold your napkin just right, lay it down beside your table, and the waiter knows you're coming back. If you just throw it on the table, he's going to take your plate because he figures you're through. When you wrap and fold your napkin, it's a sign I'm coming back. That's why when John saw Jesus' napkin folded in the tomb, he understood that's his fold. I've watched him fold his napkin before. He's coming back. Amen. Come on, church. That's good stuff. You got to make a choice to remove those things out of our life that are wrong. This past Wednesday night, I was talking about renewing the mind. And one of the problems we have in the church world is we don't realize before you put on something new, you got to take off what's old. Hello? Some of them got a kick out of me confessing something, but I told them not to ask why, but I can tell you that if there's a dirty diaper on a child, just putting a new diaper on them with some powder does not get rid of the problem. And again, I'm going to tell you, don't ask me how I know that. The proof is in the pudding. I understand. I did it. It didn't work. Because after a while, the smell of the dirty diaper started overriding the powder in the new diaper. And we got folks in the church that keep putting new stuff on top of old garments, and they don't understand unless you take off the old and clean up before you put on the new, you're not doing anything but covering up a problem that's going to keep coming back, that's going to keep bothering you. Could you say amen? Amen? Now notice this man. The Old Testament gives us a perfect story of what I'm talking about, and that's Naaman. Here is a man that the Bible describes him as a mighty man of valor. That means he's a great soldier. He won many battles. It was so much that being ahead, the king put him in charge of the entire army and said, you're going to protect the whole kingdom. You're going to be what I would be before I got too old to fight. He was an honorable man. Had a lot of power with the king because the king trusted the entire kingdom to him. And notice what it said. He dressed in great armor. He rode a great horse. He was in front of the military. And there's one thing about his life nobody knew. He was a leper. Leprosy is a death sentence. It is something that eats away until it eventually kills the person, or they commit, not really truly, according to most history lessons, 80% of the people had leprosy kill themselves before they died because it was such a horrible way to go, because it slowly but surely eat them up. Can I tell you, sin functions in the body like leprosy. It starts as a small spot and it begins to grow, and the next thing you know, it's tearing apart all your life, the extreme parts first and then the main part. And as long as you let sin continue to operate in your life, it is functioning to grow and to spread. It's not going to stay where it's at. It's not going to abide in its own little corner. It's going to keep going till it tears your life apart, and because of that, you need to find a cure, and there's only one cure, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks be unto God for the child who came to take away the sin of the world. Could you say amen? Notice this. Here's the man's used to having his way in everything. Don't know if y'all understand it or not, but since the king's the only guy above him, whatever he said went. He didn't have to ask twice to get a glass of water. He didn't have to ask twice to get what he wanted to eat. He's a man of privilege, but he's still a leper. You can walk in this church and look holiness like it's, you know, I've seen people that you can take a picture of them, put them in a dictionary, and they define holiness just by the picture. Hello? But that didn't mean the interior part was mixing up with the outside. Come on, church. I remember ladies in my home church wouldn't dare cut their hair, but they had a tongue long enough to match any hair they had on their head. Glory. Amen. I remember one time I was at the mall, and this lady came walking up. She had the bun and all this. She looked holiness. And I'm standing there, and she walked up to me. She said, "Sir." And I turned around, and I saw her. I thought, well, she's going to say to me she met me at some revival or something. She said, "You got a light?" I went, whoop, I missed that one. Glory. Amen. Here's a man of privilege. But here's a man also who is a leper, but he keeps it hid. And church, one of the problems we have in the church world is people deciding to hide their sin rather than deal with their sin. You need to put it in an altar. Get it under the blood. Let it be washed away. Come on, church. Amen. Now notice something. He's got one thing going for him. He's got a good little girl been serving God all her life that has been taken prisoner and made a slave out of. Any of y'all ever been doing something you didn't want to do? You'd just soon not be doing it. You'd just soon be doing something else. But you're there and you don't understand why God won't get you out of it, because sometimes God puts you in something, not for you, but for somebody you're going to have influence with. Hello? I used to work with my father-in-law doing carpenter work, and I'd drive every night and preach, and I'd come home and work. I told somebody one time, working for him made me pray harder for revival than anything I ever had going on. Because the more I got revival, the less work I had to do with him. Glory. But can I tell you that I wouldn't take anything from those years? Because in those years, I learned more about living for God and trusting God than I ever would have learned if I'd been out free. Come on, church. I learned how to abide my time so I could make it and become who I need to be for him. And sometimes we need to abide where we are. That little girl understood after a while, I'm not here for me. I'm here because God put me here. Because she's there one day in the house, and she noticed something nobody else knew, that her master was a leper. And she went to her master's wife and said, "I would that he could go to Israel. Because if he could go to Israel, he could meet the prophet, and the prophet could heal that leprosy." Amen. Now, church, I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but that woman had faith. She didn't say it might happen or it could possibly happen. Said if he could get to Israel and Elijah get to him, he could be healed of his leprosy. Amen. Now, church, that's the kind of faith we need to have in God. If we really, truly believe God can do the things that book said he could do, he'll start doing it again. And it's time some of us realize we've got to start believing that our God is still God. Glory. Naaman's at the top of his game. Everything's going good. And all of a sudden, she said, if he could just go to Israel. Do you realize what a slap in the face that was to Naaman? He's got to go to the enemy country, because Syria fought wars with Israel on a regular basis. He's got to go to an enemy God because he don't believe in the God of Israel. Come on, church. I get so sick and tired of people telling me I wasn't raised that way. Well, maybe you should have been. Come on, church. That's a poor excuse for not wanting to pray and seek God. Get a hold of God. Well, I wasn't raised to really pray like that and read my Bible all the time. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. Then you go keep having what you got. But if you'll understand something, maybe you wasn't raised that way. I wasn't raised Pentecostal, but I wouldn't take anything from my Pentecostal background right now. Come on, church. When you get desperate enough, you'll quit worrying about how you was raised and start worrying about how it takes to get to God. You remember when the lady came to Jesus when he landed at Caesarea Philippi? And not the lady, but the Jairus. When he came to her, he's going against every religious belief he ever had. Y'all may not realize this or not, but by him bowing before Jesus in public, he could have been stoned to death as a heretic, but he didn't care. His daughter was dying. He was desperate for God, and he understood everything else I tried ain't worked. I'm coming now to you. You're my only hope. Some of y'all need to get desperate for God and realize what I've got's not going to get cured because I decide I'm turning over a new leaf. I got to get in an altar, and don't worry about what people think or what people say. All I know is I've got to get to God because I'm in need up by something. And he is the only answer. His life's ebbing away, but his pride wouldn't let him go for help. His pride wouldn't let him talk to this man. He wouldn't even go, because see, to get a letter to leave country, he's got to go tell the king why he's leaving. And the king don't know he's a leper. Because if the king finds out he's a leper, he's going to segment him from society. I don't know if y'all understand it or not, but by letting the world know he's a leper, he's segmented from everybody, including his family. Segmented from his job. He's going most of the time be put on an island where lepers lived, or a colony away from everybody where you just get around people like you and die. Hello? And no doubt everybody at the leper colony figures somebody else's fault is there. Hello? Come on, church. Isn't it always somebody else's fault when we mess up? Come on. Some of y'all sitting there and y'all know good and well that I'm talking to you. I'm going to have to run down to the front row and amen myself the way I'm feeling. This ain't going to last long if I do that. Glory. But the truth is the truth. Every time something goes wrong in our life, it couldn't be that we didn't go get the help. It's the fact somebody else caused us to do what we did. No, they didn't. You didn't get the help. That's why you're where you are. Finally, after enough numbness set in and he saw enough pus pockets building up on his body and began to feel his hands stiffen where he couldn't use them, he went to the king and said, "Look, king, I got leprosy." And the king says, "Do what?" He says, "I got leprosy. My maid says if I go to Israel that somebody over there could help me." The king said, "Not a problem. I'll give you a letter to the king of Israel telling him to heal you, and you go on over." Amen. Because let's face it, it's got to be the best man in this country could be the only one could help. Have you ever noticed that's what's wrong with our world today? We go looking for all these specialists. You ever heard the story Humpty Dumpty? It's a great story. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men could not put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Do you not realize that's our world? The best the world's got can't do anything for us. All the psychologists, all the different ones that's supposed to be able to help us, all the specialists in medicine can't help us. But there is a God in heaven who, if called upon his name, has the power and the grace and the glory to bring us out. Glory. Notice, he sends a letter to the king. The king gets the letter. He's sitting there reading, and he goes, "Oh, if this ain't something, this is a weird way to pick a fight. Send me his general telling me I got to heal him of leprosy. I can't heal leprosy. He just wanting a war. Because when I can't heal him, he'll attack." Church, y'all need to wake up. Some of y'all need to realize everything happens in this world ain't about you. We got some folks, every time something goes wrong, oh, they're after me. Hello? Satan's not even after you. He's after the God that's in you, because if he can get him out of you, he's got you where he wants you. Hello? See, the devil's after me. No, he's not. He's after the God that's inside you, because he wants to get you away from God. He can care less about you. He wants you to go to hell with him forever. If he cared about you, he wouldn't do nothing to you. Come on, church. See, some of y'all mad because I said the devil ain't after you. Wake up, read your Bible. He's fighting a war against spiritual things, not you and I. Hello? That's good stuff. That won't cost you nothing. I just added that in. It's not in the notes. Glory. And the Bible said the king of Israel rent his clothes. What does that mean? He's scared to death, so he tears his clothes and starts praying. Because now I got a problem. So I got to get serious. You ever notice how we wait till things get so bad that we feel like we got to go way over there to get an answer instead of going over there to start with, so we already got the answer for the problem? Oh, what a wild thought. That if I stay far enough this way, I don't have to run over here every time something goes wrong. You know, if I'm reading my Bible every day and praying every day, I ain't got to get reacquainted to God every time something happens in my life. But we got folks that never read a Bible, never pray, then something happens. Oh, I got to go on a fast. I got to do this. No, you should have been doing that all along. Then the problem might not have been so bad. King rents his clothes, and the prophet sends word to him, said, why have you rent your clothes? Send the man to me. He should have come to me to begin with. I am the man connected to God. You ain't. Hello? All of a sudden, he loads up his horses and chariots. And he rides down to Elijah's house, and he's already got his idea made up how he's going to get prayed for. You ever notice people come to this altar, and if I don't pray for them like I ought to, they get upset about it because they think I got to hit them a certain way or do a certain thing to them. Honey, if you come to this altar, you ought not be worried about me at all. It's him that's got to do it, and if he don't do it, it ain't going to happen. I absolutely had somebody got mad at me because I came to the altar and I didn't pray for them, but I was walking through praying for folks. I didn't do it on purpose. I just missed them. They got mad, blowed their lips out, and wouldn't talk to me for about a month and a half, and finally told me, you didn't pray for me one night and you went by me. And I was like, when was that? I don't even remember seeing them in the altar. Hello? It wasn't intentional. But if they came up here, they should have came up here seeking God instead of me. I'm not the author of the finish of your faith. He is. So he's already got it made up in his mind. How it's going to happen? I'm going to drive up there. Prophet's going to run out, lay hands on me. I'm going to fall out in the spirit, roll around, jump up, and go home. Problem was, the prophet never even came out. He sent Gehazi, his intern. I know he's an intern. He don't know much. Hello? Smile. Every good prophet needs an intern. Every intern needs a good prophet to learn from. Hello? Gehazi, you know, he's the one that woke up early. Didn't know preachers sleep late. Hello? Now, church, y'all know me. I'm not all day sleeper. I never understood that myself. I can be up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning by 7 or 8. I'm out to bed, ready to go. I don't understand folks can sleep to 12, talk about I'm tired, give out, it's because you slept too much. Hello? But you know, I used to get in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I had this guy call me at 6 o'clock one morning. I answered the phone. I said, hello? He said, you up? I said, I am now, some idiot called me. He said, well, I was up. I thought you ought to be up. I'm sick of you lazy preachers sleeping all day. So I just laughed, hung the phone up. That night I got in, I went out to my building beside the house where my phone was, and I called him. 3 o'clock in the morning. He dropped the phone twice, hung it up, had to call him back. He finally got on the phone. Hello? I said, you up? what do you want? I said, well, I'm up. I thought you wanted me up when you washed. You ought to be up when I'm up. I'm on my way over to get some coffee. I heard his wife say, you tell him if he shows up, I shoot him. But he never called me at 6 o'clock in the morning anymore either. Hello? That was before I started pastoring. Now I'm up to 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm still up in the morning. Ain't a big deal. You call me, I'll tell you, take 2 aspirin, call me after 10. Glory. No. Y'all know better than that. But instead of the prophet doing what he wanted to, he sent his attendant out, and he said, go tell him what to do. And the attendant walked out and said, the prophet said for you to go dip in the river and wash 7 times. And notice what the Bible said. He got mad because the guy didn't even bother to come out. And he said, here I am, 5-star general of the Syrian army, and this dude won't even come out where I am. Who does he think he is? The rivers of Damascus, where I'm from, they're clear. That's a muddy piece of junk. He's wanting me to go take a bath in. Just so y'all know, the word Jordan means flowing down filthy. Hello? And it's full of trash. I know some of y'all had this pristine river. It ain't much of a river unless it's flooding. In its widest place, it's not much wider than this room. And most places, you can jump it. Runs 200 miles, but it's because it's zigzagging so much. You can't run boats down it much because it zigzags so much. Only time it goes straight is when it's flooding, and it just runs over those humps and runs right on down. But it is the only water source that leaves the Lake of Gennesaret, the Galilean Sea. It flows down to the Dead Sea. It's filthy. Jews won't get in it unless they have to. They will rent you garments to get baptized in it. They'll rent you a place to do a baptizing. They'll rent you showers, take a shower when you get out. But they won't get in it unless they have to, because it's filthy. Hello? And yet we go over there talking about, oh, I want to go get an old Jordan. We sung all them songs, Jordan River's deep and wide. It ain't neither one. But it's also bad. It's filthy. Even back then, it was muddy all the time. And that guy said, those rivers are clear over there. Why can't I go over there? Because God didn't tell you to go over there. And listen what the little girl said. She said, if my master had asked you to do something unusual, you wouldn't have thought a thing about it. But because he told you to do something that's below your dignity, you don't want to do it. Hello? Because he still got his pride. He still got his arrogance. He still got all the things that made him who he was, including the leprosy. Sometimes God brings you down so he can bring you out. So finally he decides, I'm going to go. And he gets to that water and he's standing there thinking, I ain't doing this. This is stupid. Everybody's watching me. I ain't taking no chances. So he walks in, full armor. Gets out in the water, ducks under the water, stands back up. Now all he is wet with muddy water. He walks out. He's mad now because he ain't no better. So he decides. They said, look, you got to get rid of all these implements you got. So he takes his sword off, drops his shield, loses something he can protect himself with because he suddenly realizes, I got to get out of this protective state if God's going to bless me. Some of you keep hanging on to your armor, trying to defend yourself from a God that's trying to do something in your life. You're fighting a battle against the very thing that's trying to straighten you out. He goes back in, dips, comes up. This is ridiculous. He walks out. Now I got fish in my helmet. Throws it off. Takes his gloves off. Kicks his shoes off and goes back in. But do you notice every time he's going in, He's losing a little more of the outer cover that he's depended on. He's losing more of that that he's been hanging on to instead of letting go so God can touch him. That's why there had to be seven dips instead of two or three. It took all seven to get it all out of him. But the children of Israel left Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of the children. Only took one night to get them out of Egypt. But it took 40 years to make them forget about Egypt. And it sometimes takes us a long time to let go of the things we're hanging on to. And as long as we're hanging on, God's not going to move. But when he finally got to that seventh tree, he's no longer got on his armor. He's no longer got on. And look, now if he gets out of his armor, he's got his clothes. Do y'all understand clothes in the Middle East even today represent your status in society? That's why if an American goes over and he's wearing bright colors, they follow him around. He can Jew people out of anything because they think he's got money. Say, preacher, you don't know that. I Jew Jews out of stuff. Because I was fat and wearing nice clothes. They thought I had money, so they knew I could cut a deal. And they dealt with me because of that. I had people with me who were skinny, didn't have on nice clothes. They looked at them and laughed, told them they wasn't dropping the price at all. I walked right behind them and buy it for half price because they knew I had money. I didn't really have money, but I looked like it to them. Come on, church. Now he's got his clothes. He's out of his armor, but his clothes still represent status of royalty. And so he takes off his clothes because now they're muddy too. Now he's down to his undergarments. He goes in again. Problem is, he still got on the undergarments. Nothing's happened. He comes out. He's arguing. He don't want to take them off because he realizes when I take them off, everybody's going to know why we're here. Because until now, he's kept the leprosy covered with his clothes, his armor, his undergarment, have helped him hide what he was trying to keep the world from knowing. And all of a sudden, God's saying to him, and he's saying to us, until you get it all out in the open, put it where it needs to be, confess your sins unto God. He is a just God, able to forgive you your sin. Put it all out in the open and quit trying to hold back and hide it. Then God can get rid of the leprosy and bring a healing to you that will set you free forever and forever and forever. And all of a sudden, he loses the rest of his garments, and you can see soldiers going, whoa, dude's leper, look at him. And he goes into the water, and it's the seventh trip. It's just like the other times, except when he dips, something happens. Because all the way in, he's realizing these people are looking at me. Some of them are laughing at me. Some of them are wondering why they've been following me. I'd just as soon die. And while he's in the water, something died, but it wasn't him. Because all of a sudden he felt the cold on him. Because the feeling was coming back into his body. Felt those sharp rocks in the bottom that he hadn't felt before because his feet didn't feel anything because of the neuropathy that had been brought on by the leprosy. And all of a sudden he realized he jumps up out of the water and he's laughing like a madman. And he's coming out of the water and he's looking and his arms are clean, his hands are clean. The leprosy's gone and everything's changed because he went into that water and he did it the way God said do it. He got rid of all the outer garments and buried himself before God and let God take care of the need in his life. See, I believe this morning God has brought some of you here because you're here with a leprosy of sin that is eating away slowly at your life. That if you don't put it in the water or the water of the blood and the water of the word, the cleansing's never going to happen, and that's going to keep eating at you until it eats you alive. You've got to be completely immersed. Nothing but yourself. Everything in your life has to be turned toward God. And if you do that, I got a God who can heal that leprosy this morning, who can set you free of that you're trying to hide, that's holding you bondage and captive, and give you peace that passes all understanding. Stand with me all over the house. I believe with all my heart that God gave me this message during the week. I apologize for the raspy voice, but I'm probably not even supposed to be here. But God put this in my heart to preach to you this morning.
There are people in this building that leprosy of sin is eating your life away. And you can lie to yourself all you want to. You can look in the mirror, pretend you're good. But understand what it said. He was a great man, a man of honor. But he was a leper. You can hold a position in this church, but if there's sin in your life, you're still a leper. And it's eating away like a cancer that will eventually destroy you. And I believe with all my heart that God sent me here to tell you this morning, it's time to dip in the pond. It's time to lay it all in God's hands and let it go. Father, I thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Holy Spirit of God, touch us this morning with your anointing. Holy, holy God, have your